Hello, everyone. It's Scott Tips again. It's Wednesday night. It's October 3rd, 2012, and we're on the downside of the slope to the end of the year, which will go very quickly, as we all know. It always happens. There was someone who told me once that if you want anything done in the year, you do it in the first 6 months of the year, not the last 6 months, because the last 6 months go very quickly. So you aim to start in January and be done by June, or it's not going to be done. So that seems to be the way it is with some of my projects. But one of them, at least, is coming to happen, and that's to have at long last Dr. Hans Kugler on this radio program. Now, I want you to sit down for this introduction, because it's going to be a longer one than any of the others, because Dr. Kugler has a lot of things going on for him. Besides being a credible, authoritative expert in the field of anti-aging, his knowledge is really wide-ranging, and he's been around the block, and he's been in this field of anti-aging for a very long time, a lot longer than I have. I wanted to tell you something about him. In 1974, I bought one of his books, Slowing Down the Aging Process. Okay, yeah, I was only 2 years old at the time and reading diaper packages, but somehow I got my little hands on his book. And little did I know that I would meet him later on in life, and even less did I know that I would work with him in an organization called the National Health Federation, because Hans has been, besides being one of the world's leading experts on longevity and anti-aging, he is the president and founder of the International Academy for Anti-Aging Medicine. He's a past president and, of course, a current board member for many years, let's say decades, of the National Health Federation. He's the author and co-author of 10 successful books on anti-aging. Now, the one that brought him to my attention back when I was younger, shall we say, was Slowing Down the Aging Process. But he's written a good number of books since then, including 7 Keys to a Longer Life, and his most recent one, which is Lifelong Health, Learn How to Control Your Genes to Stay Young with Age. And that's all about the science of epigenetics, which I'll have Hans explain much better than I ever could. So this guy has been a much sought-after speaker worldwide, in Germany, in Japan, in Thailand, in India, in West Indies, in South America. And he's been a scientific, in fact, the senior science advisor to Gerald Vida and the Journal of Longevity. And he's a friend and associate of both Jack LaLanne and even Arnold Schwarzenegger. So they can even speak German together, because Hans was born in a part of Germany that isn't even part of Germany anymore. And when I wrote an article about him for our magazine, Health Freedom News, I remember interviewing Hans for that, just privately, not on the air like now. And one of the stories was about how he, as a young boy, had to dodge into doorways to avoid the machine gun fire from strafing Soviet fighters. This is what happened. That the country was overrun, of course, by the Soviets, and then he was able to escape with his family to the West, became a fighter pilot with the West German Air Force, and then not too long after that, immigrated to the United States. Well, you know, if I keep going with all that he's done, with all his studies, you know, the aging research he's done at Roosevelt University, working with Professor Robert Mendelson of the Illinois University School of Medicine, so on, we'll just be hearing from me and not from him. So I think what I'll do is I'll stop at this stage and I'll welcome Hans. Hans, welcome.
I am blushing. I am blushing from this magnificent introduction. Scott, you're my hero anyway.
Well,
but
thank
yes,
you.
As a matter of fact, my interest in aging research started many, many years ago when I was at the University of Munich at the medical school. I'm doing my undergraduate work under Nobel laureate Butenandt. And Professor Butenandt always insisted, he says, look at older athletes that have stayed fit. They can outdo younger people and so on and so on. And that stuck in my mind forever. And having been in the fitness field for a very long time, I was in a boxing team, swimming team, and which then got me into the West German Air Force. when we totally ran out of money after escaping to West Germany. And that's really where I met a lot of American, pilots that had gone through graduate school in the U.S. and told me about graduate school in the U.S. And so I applied for a graduate assistantship, and I finally came over here and finished my Ph.D. at SUNY by Stony Brook, New York, State University of New York, which is now recognized as one of the top schools in the medical sciences.
I remember now, you and I had that talk when I was writing that article, and after that you did a lot of work in the private industry and also at universities, as I recall.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, after I finished my degree at Stony Brook, I was also assistant professor for a while. I taught there for a little bit. And then I started working for Standard Oil of Indiana. Now, why would I work for an oil industry when I'm not really so hot about these industries that pollute and so on and so on? But it was very simple because I worked for the agricultural department, and it looked as if they were concerned about what pesticide would do to the environment. Ha, ha, ha. Was I in for a surprise? But anyway... doing research for them, I was at a meeting in Canada, and I saw about environmental effects of pesticides and so on and so on. And I saw a very attractive lady, and I was zooming in on her and thinking about what intelligent thing I could say to get her attention. And she actually climbed up on the stage. She was the next speaker. And she spoke about how to radiate plants that were just germinating with sound waves, like 3,000, 5,000, 8,000 cycles per second. And the plants grew much faster, spread their leaves much faster than the regular plants. And therefore, they did not require herbicides, you know, to keep the weeds down. That was totally fascinating. And when I went back to my oil company outside south of Chicago, Standard Oil of Indiana, I activated two greenhouses, and I started doing that. And it was totally amazing. Like if you look at, for example, soybeans, regular planted seeds, and the other one radiated maybe with a sound of 6,000 cycles per second or something like that. You could actually play Mozart to them and they would grow faster, right? Like after a few weeks, the plants with the sound stimulation, they were about 2.5 times as tall as the others, and they spread their leaves and they didn't need. And I thought, wow, this will give me a recognition at the company. And my boss called me in, and I thought I would get a raise and so on. But actually, all what he did was he says, oh, it's very interesting research. He acknowledged that. But he sort of hinted to me that if I ever wanted to publish that, I'd need the permission from the company, parentheses, which I would never get. And by the way, we need to examine some fertilizer emulsifier, and that has some toxic chemicals in it, and we want to feed it to 20 beagles, and then the beagle's autopsy will show us what's wrong with that. And I thought, are you people absolutely nuts? I mean, this was such an outdated method of checking on something, right? And I'm an animal, not anyway. I mean, I have dogs and cats and everything, and horses. Right. And so anyway, I finally said, blank this. I left Standard Oil, and I had started out teaching evenings at Roosevelt University in Chicago. And at Roosevelt in Chicago, Professor Guthman, our chairman, was a real mensch. I mean, magnificent human being. And he encouraged me to do longevity studies. He actually helped to finance my animal research. And we started doing longevity studies with cancer-prone mice, adult retired breeders. That means animals that were equivalent to humans of middle age or a little bit older. And that's how my anti-aging research started. And it started with it sort of culminated in a major set of research studies where we compared Swiss albino cancer-prone mice, three groups. The one group was a control. The other group was a treated group that was subjected to all the good health practices, including exercise, And then we had a group that actually was subjected to a lot of mistakes people make. That means they didn't do any exercise. They got tap water for drinking water. We blow cigarette smoke through the cages and so on and so on. And now here's a question for everybody out there. How much do you think was the difference between the animals that did everything wrong and did everything right in terms of average lifespans? Take a guess.
Well, I will not hazard a guess right now, but please share with us.
It was absolutely amazing. It was close to 100%. And interestingly enough, I had met at the same time, I met a Professor Emmanuel Cheraskum, Alabama University School of Medicine. He was my hero. He was the genius in alternative medicine. And we looked at aging from very similar points of view. Professor Cheraskum had defined aging as a state of homeostasis achieved by doing so and so many things correctly. That means if you do more and more health practices correctly, you will live longer and longer and longer. Your overall rate of aging will be slower and slower. Your immune system will be better and better. Your resistance against disease will be better and better, and so on and so on. And Emmanuel had actually predicted on the nose the outcome of my longevity studies 100%. And that gave us a lot of attention in the scientific journals, and we published that. And that was actually one of the key things in my latest book, The Lifelong Health, and as a starting point, because previously to that, a lot of researchers said, oh, well, health practices, that's kind of cute. And if somebody, an older person, would ask the doctor, doctor, should I do exercise? And the doctor may have said, well, at your age, you know, it's too late already, and it's all in your genes. It doesn't make any difference. And that is just totally and absolutely wrong, right? And so combining more and more health practices is true. Those are true anti-aging modalities. And not only that we have those numbers established with research data, an area of aging research called telomere research recently confirmed all that.
Well, let me jump in here, Hans, and break this up a little bit. Number one, just to let the listeners know, the ones who are on the chat line, that my chat line is down. I can't type anything into it. So if you've said hello to me, I'm saying now hello back to you because I can't type it in. But I can certainly read the chat line. So if you have any questions, please let me know. And some time back ago, Hans, there was a gentleman who asked if, when you were recounting the story about the sound waves, is whether or not it worked to grow hair. I think that was tongue in cheek, but would those sound waves work to grow hair? I think he was asking for my sake.
Well, no, everybody is interested in that.
It's a trick question, but you know, when you mentioned the sound waves, and I just wanted to get back to that briefly because the other subject that you were just touching on is actually more important. I was involved in a project in Bakersfield, which was California, which was called Sonic Bloom. And I typed that out for you if I could, but I can't. And Sonic Bloom. And it was a combination of certain kind of music that was played to open up the pores of the plants, and then you sprayed a nutrient rich mix onto the leaves, onto the plants, and they would grow. And I mean, it was like the Mysterious Island, you know, where they have of Jules Verne's ilk, where you had big plants and big you know, ears of corn and the like. It was absolutely incredible. So in this case...
Yeah, this is a very fascinating area.
Yeah, so you were on to something even before Sonic
existed. Yeah, it's a very fascinating area.
Existed. Well,
As a matter of fact...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we have a little bit of a lag, I can tell, and that's why we're both hesitating there. from the connection. But you were going to say something about that. And if you weren't, I wanted to get back to the science of epigenetics that you were touching on before.
Right. Well, number one, yes, in respect to hair growth and so on, a lot of areas have been, evaluating some of these things. Like, for example, there's a little cap that you can actually wear under your baseball cap, and that has little lasers in there that stimulates hair growth and some other things, you know. But I think the more important part is really that genetic yes. part, right? And telomere research, that is the key in there, because if you look at a human cell or if you, any cell in your body, you find that in the center you have the nucleus, the DNA, right? I mean, the chromosomes. And at the end of every chromosome, you have elongations. And those elongations are called telomeres. And they are the longest at the time of birth. And as we get older, every time when a cell divides, it chops off one of those subdivisions. And when all the subdivisions are used up, you know, then we pass away. That's our maximum lifespan. And interestingly enough, and I find this very especially interesting because it goes into the intelligent design thinking, right? As a matter of fact, there's a gentleman at NIH, Francis Collins, who wrote a little book. He says, "The Language of God, a Scientist Presents Evidence for Belief." And he talks about this. See, every species on Earth has those telomeres, and only with different number of subdivisions. Like dogs have 15, by the time they're all used up, maximum lifespan about, whatever, 22, 23, right? Humans, 54, maximum lifespan about 110 to 120. The Galapagos tortoise, 75, corresponding to about a lifespan of 250, all confirmed by the sciences, right? And now, in the last, I would say, mostly 5 or 6 years, scientists have confirmed that good health practices will actually lengthen or keep telomeres long, and bad health practices will shorten it. Like the strongest telomere shortening practice is not really a practice, is when you're under stress, right? And the other one is, for example, smoking cigarettes. And out of all these studies, which again confirm good health practices as true anti-aging modalities, right? There comes a very important finding, and I have always insisted on that, and that is that exercise, physical activity, is an essential requirement. That means it must be included. And our longevity studies with our animals, at Roosevelt University in Chicago, it showed that if we do the same longevity studies, but we do not include exercise, physical activity, all the results drop to about 50%. I mean, 50%?
If you leave out, Hans, you're saying if you leave out exercise, it drops to 50%?
That's right. That's right. All the results are only about half as good, right? And recently, several medical organizations have come around and posted research data showing and suggesting that the lack of exercise should be actually treated as a medical disorder. Now, isn't that totally fascinating? Because look at, for example, exercise itself. If you take the simplest, well, one of the simplest definition of aging, like basically what is aging? Aging is a constant loss of capacity to do things physically and mentally, right? Now, physically, if you are not well exercised, naturally your capacity to do things decreases tremendously. But how about mentally? And there's a publication out, several follow-up publications, basically saying that resistance exercise is brain food. That means if you're doing some weightlifting or some muscle exercises, it will actually prevent cognitive losses. Now, that is something very new and now recognized, and all these data fall together in, you know, recognizing that exercise is an essential requirement, and that a lack of exercise, you know, is one of the biggest problems and the biggest aging problems. Look, for example, at depression, right? Like people who suffer from regular, you know, everyday depression, if they go on an exercise program, the simplest exercise program ever, 3 times a week, 30 minutes, just heart rate elevated, no matter what you do. I mean, it's a very simple program, right? And depression scores, they measure depression scores with what they call the SCL-90 depression score, right? Mm-hmm. And when you measure that, it immediately, within a few days, it drops down into normal ranges. Well, that's just a starting point. But look at also how it affects other diseases. I mean, what's the number one preventive for heart disease? Exercise, right? Mm-hmm. What's next thing? It even goes into cancer, into, you know, mental performance, and so on and so on. And what's another one? Diabetes, right? People with adult onset diabetes, there are now programs available, and some of them I discuss in my book, The Lifelong Health. When they increase exercise, drop the junk foods, eat quality foods, with an emphasis on balancing blood sugar, which is greatly helped by exercise because exercise increases muscle mass, which serves as a balance or a buffer against blood sugar imbalances, and they can actually reverse diabetes, adult onset diabetes.
Amazing.
It all falls into place. Hans,
but let me ask you something. Like many things, can exercise be overdone? You know, when I was talking with Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw way back when, they were of the opinion, and I'm not saying it's the correct opinion, but they were of the opinion that it only took a little bit of exercise each week to really keep one healthy. You didn't have to be like an Arnold Schwarzenegger workaholic mm-hmm. to make it work. Is that true, or what do you
think?
Well,
to some degree, yes. That is true. I mean, not completely correct. See, those were the beginnings where people were evaluating how to exercise, and they found that different ways to exercise give much better results. As a matter of fact, a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Paul Ward, he is an Olympic mm-hmm. trainer, and he developed an exercise program many years ago. It's called circuit or super circuit training, which makes exercise much less boring, much more effective. And you only have to do about twice. You have to do it only about twice per week. And the key point here is it's different from the old approach. The old approach used to be, well, at first you sit half an hour on a bicycle, you pedal to keep your blood rate up for your heart. And then you maybe do some muscle exercise. Total nonsense. As a matter of fact, the program developed by Dr. Paul Ward, he's also the author and an author of Encyclopedia of Weight Training, a very famous man. He focuses on making things, as I said before, less boring and more effective. And what we do is, like when I go to the gym, I sit on a forward pedaling bicycle or a step machine or anything like this, where I have my hands on the handles and I can see my heart rate. And I bring my heart rate up into the right range. And that normally only takes about 3 or 4 minutes. And so then I move on to the next machine. This is maybe a resistance machine, any kind of weight machine. And I go from one machine to another at a relative fast rate. And therefore, it will maintain my heart rate. And this program was evaluated by a very famous Texas University exercise guru. He said, with this super circuit and circuit training exercises, we see results beyond belief in terms of weight loss, body shaping, increasing muscle mass, and so on and so on. I mean, it works so well that you only have to do it basically twice a week, which I do. And naturally, another time, anytime, you should do maybe just a little bit, some activity by going for a half hour walk or whatever. Take your girlfriend, husband, wife, or your dog or whatever for a walk, and that's sufficient. And my body fat had dropped down to...
Your body fat had dropped down to what?
My body fat had dropped down. I gave a presentation at the international meeting, you know, for American Academy Anti-Aging Medicine, and I had it measured with two different approaches. It was down to 10.7%.
And well, that's pretty incredible.
I'm eating, and I enjoy food.
Well, you're kind of a big guy too, not an overweight guy, just, you know, toned guy. Because I remember you were in that auto accident, and if you hadn't been in such good shape, you might have been killed because of it, where you were broadsided.
Yes, totally. I had this several years ago. I had this extreme side impact car accident. I mean, a young kid had bought an oversized truck 2 hours before, went through a red light, side impact. I was in an older Mercedes, top down, 5-6 years old Mercedes. It tore off 1/3 of the car in the back. Did not even open the rip open the gas tank. I mean, thank God, because otherwise I would have been a goner. And it spun the car around, and the paramedics at first thought that I had a broken neck and a broken spine, and everybody from police to the doctors told me the only reason why you are alive is because you have a lot of muscle that kept you together, right? And they brought me to the hospital, and it turned out okay, and they let me go home. But over a year and a half, I went downhill. You wouldn't believe it. I lost 18 pounds of muscle. I came to a point where I walked 30 yards and I'm, you know, I mean, out of breath. It was unbelievable until finally a friend of mine, Dr. Ghali, diagnosed that the impact had ruptured part in my heart. Wow, what a surprise. So I went to USC. I picked the, you know, found out the best man over there, and we did an echo for the heart. And we found out that my left atrium had enlarged, bubbled out, like when you put too much air in a balloon and it finds a weak spot. I had an extreme irregularity, and the capacity of my heart to pump out was only 28%. I mean, distressing. That was the bottom line. And follow-up then, all kinds of techniques, cardioversions, ablations, drugs, which I don't really like. Anyway, finally came to the point where they said four drugs and the pacemaker and the defibrillator installed in your chest for the rest of your life, right? And I said, no way. Asking around among the experts in the world, Dr. Ulrich Friedrichsen in Germany at Heidelberg University, those are the people that are doing the embryonic cell extracts, Dr. Ron Klotz from American Academy Anti-Aging Medicine, Scott Yule and others with the National Health Federation. By the way, National Health Federation, that is one organization that everybody should support. I mean, it is www.thenhf.com, absolutely number one. Right? But anyway, after talking to all these experts, we developed my own recovery program, including suggestions from my friend, the Olympic trainer. I went to Germany. I got these embryonic cell extracts. I did EECP, which is a method here. Comes out of NASA. When astronauts come back from outer space, they can't stand straight because of the lack of gravity, and they lay them on a high-tech bed. And your bottom up to your navel is wrapped, pressure wrapped, and it pumps it up at your rate, the way your heart beats. And they found that this method actually causes new blood vessel formation in the heart. Well, we followed that. The USC professor agreed to convert me one more time back to normal, which usually only lasted for 3 days. But I took a drug, actually a drug that has a lot of side effects, but I had no other choice. And I was going very strong, and after 4 weeks, I cut this bad drug in half. After 6 weeks, I got off it. I continued for 3 months, and now we did an echo at USC, and the professor goes, it's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And we found that another echo showed that my left atrium had come down from 6.8 to 5.3. I was totally normal with rhythm, and my ejection fraction had come from 28 up to 60%. Well, I had spent $138,000 in 3 months, and I can't afford that, right? I mean, I'm not a rich guy. I wrote every check against my home equity loan and went back to all the experts, and they said, you have no choice but to wean yourself off the expensive things, and which I did for another 5 months. And now the USC professor, I've never seen anything like it. That's impossible. You know, we have to do all the tests at USC. Otherwise, nobody will believe it. And we did an echo. And now my left atrium, 6.8, 5.3. Now I'm 3.7. I'm in a normal range again. Less than 3.9 is normal. My ejection fraction went from 28 to 60 to 80%, totally normal rhythm. And according to heart output data, at age almost 77 in a few weeks, I am classified as a high-performing athlete.
Thank you, God. That was really nice. That's great, Hans. And I remember that when you went through this period, it was quite an ordeal for you, and you took the bull by the horns and you beat the odds. Mm-hmm. Certainly, the common statistical approach that was taken by and is still taken by the mainstream conventional medical
The mainstream medicine with all their drugs, you know, the mainstream medicine with all their drugs, that's just, you know, it is not very effective. But anyway, the bottom line was this, I present,
Well, you know, there's such a lag here.
I presented these data.
Okay.
Yeah, because we are so far away from each other, there's a little time lapse, right?
Yeah, everybody, that's what I was going to
understand
say.
That.
So it makes it very tough to have a back and forth conversation, and maybe our technical guys can take care of that for the future. So right now we'll just have to both of us take breaks every now and then so we can each get words in. But go ahead and finish your conclusion, please.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, I presented my data to the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, and I was given the best speaking spot, which is a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in 2009 at the Mandalay Hotel in Las Vegas with the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. I had 1,500 MDs, PhDs, professors in my audience, and we made medical history. That was, I mean, this was so exhilarating, right? And then later on, it was also taken up, you know, in a textbook on medicine. And again, very recently, the Townsend Letter for Doctors. It used to be a regular health letter that has developed into a regular medical journal, Townsend, you know, for Doctors. Very interesting. I mean, alternative approaches. They devote an entire issue to one specific disease. In this case, they did heart disease. And at the end, they look at hundreds of publications, and they picked my publication, My Heart Recovery, as the key in showing that he or she, it can be done, and we can make medical history with alternative medicine, and so on and so on. And then, and this is almost funny, right? I mean, I wrote in my book, The Lifelong Health, that's out right now, and you can actually see the whole story at my website, our website. It's www.antiagingforme.org or .com, doesn't matter. We have both of them. So in the introduction in my book, I explained my heart recovery. And somebody read it and they said, why did you have to bring God into that? And I said, what? Well, anyway, I had described my heart recovery, and at the end I said, well, once I had my aviation medical all in order and I was totally back to health, I got into my twin-engine airplane, I climbed to 11,500 feet, and I said, thank you, God, for giving me the brains to do so and friends to guide me in the right direction, you know. And then that person, I mean, I gave him the $7 back that he paid for my ebook. As a matter of fact, we have the cost of the ebook instead of $23, what a lot of people are charging. We brought it. We kept it at $7 so that everybody can afford it, right? And you can buy it at Amazon or.
Hans, that's very good. But some of the people missed your website. Can you give that, please, to us again?
Okay. Yes, it is. The website is www.antiagingforme.org or .com. It doesn't matter. Antiaging for me. The last letters are F O R.
It is four,
not the
and
number four.
And four is F O R. Four is F O R in there.
F O R M E, like antiaging for me. .org or .com, and you have access to the first 22 pages of my book and also many different areas of aging research. It is totally fascinating. For example, the embryonic cell extracts. You go to the bottom of the page. It says free ebooks. You click on that, and then you can get into the meat of the website. And just browse around. It's totally fascinating material from the ground up.
Okay, Hans, let me ask you some questions in the short time we have left. So you talked about exercise. Does exercise have any effect on telomere length in your genes?
Definitely and absolutely. In several publications, researchers have demonstrated that the good health practices actually lengthen or keep long telomeres, and bad health practices, that's, for example, stress, is the strongest telomere shortening effect. Now, when you put all these data together, then you will find out and recognize that the only real main thing in the future that will cause true regeneration in an aged body, they're actually stem cells. And that's really why I established my own stem cell laboratory. And you can also see that at the website. When I recognized after the car accident that I wasn't as indestructible as I always thought I was, fitness and boxing team and Air Force and member of a reserve police, which I still am, right? The Long Beach Mounted Police. It's a horse unit. And so I put every penny I had into my stem cell laboratory, right? And we actually welcome investors. And we recently moved into the new facility. Soon there will be new pictures on the website about that. Thanks to a sponsor, putting in my last penny that I had, we were able to get the new space, very secure, absolutely magnificent, and I paid 1 year ahead of all the expenses. So we can relax at least for the rent side, you know?
Right. Well, all right, go ahead.
Yes, and to sum up the entire picture, there is one very important area, and that was part of my talk presented at a medical congress in Orlando in the spring of this year, and I will elaborate on it more in December at the National American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine in Las Vegas, A4M. In essence, looking at anti-aging from the ground up. So we have the good health practices, and when we apply all this and follow up on anybody from children to athletes to older person who are trying to regenerate, sometimes it doesn't work. And for a long time, we were totally baffled, right? And now we know what it is. It is the endocrine disruptors, toxic chemicals in the environment that get into your body and that actually interfere with endocrine messages in your system and, more important, GMOs, genetically modified organisms or foods. That is so bad, this stuff. In Europe, rejected. In America, they shove it down our throats without any notification. I mean, the Food and Drug Administration allowed Monsanto to sell this stuff in the U.S. when it was rejected in most countries, and now associated with digestive tract disorders. And they have two types of corn, the one that is genetically modified to be resistant against herbicides, right? And then another one that actually produces its own pesticides. That means when the corn is ripe, bugs come in and want to eat it. Well, the corn makes its own pesticides to kill the bugs or keep them away. Well, the corn doesn't have a 360 radar system as we have in airplanes, right? And so it makes the pesticides all the time, and that's what you get when you eat the corn. You get either herbicides, tremendous amounts with the corn, or you get pesticides with it. And that affects genetically your messaging system from immune functions to everything else. I mean, we see problems like early puberty, age 7 in girls, I mean, smaller penises in boys, increase in estrogens, lowering of immune functions, and so on and so on. And that's a very interesting story. In Connecticut, some researchers were discussing genetically modified food, and one of the researchers said, well, we have animals, when we put them in small cages, they may be a little bit effective. He said, but here in on the East Coast, they have systems where they can follow up on animals that are living outside in nature and see how they would respond to something like this. They have feeding stations. So he said, I will buy a bag of regular corn and I will get a regular and genetically modified corn. And he was so busy, had to go on speaking tours. So by the time spring came up, he said, oh, blank, I forgot this. What has happened? So he checked up in the garage where he had the two bags of corn. And guess what? The mice and rats had done the experiment for him. They had chewed through the bag of regular corn, ate every kernel, and also chewed through the bag of the genetically modified corn and did not touch one corn kernel of this poisonous junk. And in California, we have in the coming elections, we have a proposition number 37 that I want everybody to vote for. That means we want to be able to tell when we buy foods in the stores if they contain genetically modified foods. Right? I don't
that means all you people out in Ireland, I want you to get on a flight and fly to California because they don't require voter ID. So you can vote just like any other person coming up from south of the border. So we want you to come out and vote for Proposition 37. How about that? Can you think we can get away with that, Hans?
That sounds good. Sounds definitely good, you know.
Hans, give me the bottom line, and then we're going to switch to questions because we're really running out of time here.
Okay. Bottom line is true anti-aging from the ground up. Emphasis on good health practices. In my book, Lifelong Health, Learn How to Control Your Genes to Stay Young with Age, you can see it on our website, Anti-Aging For Me, at the end, forme.org or .com. You can actually have access to the table of contents and everything else. And that is number one, good health practices. Number two, stay away from anything genetically modified, toxic chemicals, junk food, sugar, sweets, and so on. Like there's a lot of baloney out there where they're telling you that artificial sweeteners or sweeteners like high fructose corn syrup, oh, it's all natural. That's the biggest nonsense there is. Only your liver in your body can metabolize fructose, and it immediately metabolizes that into fat. So when you have fructose or high fructose corn syrup in your diet, you're actually eating a high fat diet, right? And then the next step up is stem cell research, where we focus on making stem cells with your DNA. And if you're a millionaire, give us a lot of research money that will help. Anyway, that's sort of the summary.
Okay, I appreciate that, Hans. So we have a listener who had a question. He went to your website and he asked, what kind of face peels do you recommend?
What kind of what?
Face peels do you recommend? What kind of face peels? It's on your website.
Face peels. Well, this is not really my field, right? I'm more for regeneration from the inside out. And
that's what
there is a number of there are a number of alternative medicine and cosmetic surgeons, and you know, they will guide you to the newest things, because if you talk about something, there's probably something else published already that is new. You know, start from the inside out, that is more important.
Mm-hmm. And then what would you recommend, Hans? Thank you very much for that. What would you recommend for an older person to do to stay young? I know it's in your book, and I know you summed up a little bit, but is there, like, nutritionally stem the telomere
yes.
length loss?
Uh-huh.
Besides exercise, which
yes.
we already talked about.
Let me comment
about.
Right. Yeah. Let me comment on it. There's a few things that really are important. As we get older, endocrine hormone balances. There are doctors associated with the A4M, American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. There are specialists in doing that. There is human growth hormone. That's very important. A lot of people are taking it, but you must take it correctly. That means human growth hormone should be taken for 3 days or 3 or 4 days, and 3 or 4 days off, 3 or 4 days on, 3 or 4 days off. That gives the best results. Then also the hormones, for example, testosterone for men. But testosterone is not only for men. Also, a lot of women are taking testosterone at a certain level to support not only lean body mass formation, but in general health, right? There are also some other things. For example, nitric oxide is a very important molecule in your body that affects the heart functions, blood pressure, immune function, sexuality, and so on. And you could check up on that, nitric oxide. Then there are some new findings with velvet deer antler. Velvet deer antler has been used, extracts, for many thousands of years in Oriental medicine, and recently a U.S. company found a new way, a better way to extract the deer antlers. They make a very fine grind, and they extract it with a similar to a red wine at a low temperature. And this stuff is so good. I was introduced to this at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine last December, and I took that instead of growth hormone for 5 months, and I felt good, and I found out later on that it actually contains IGF-1. Now, human growth hormone goes to IGF-1, which then stimulates lean body mass maintenance. And also in my exercise program, that's a very important part. A lot of women are telling us, I don't want to become muscular like a man. There is no problem with that. There is two ways to exercise. The one is just to lean, right, and no muscle gain. And the other one is to build muscle. And it's very simple. You can exercise one way or another. And I compare this sometimes to cars. I said a Jaguar, a sports car, I compare this to a lean and fit woman, and a Hummer, obviously, or a big truck, compare this to a man. They're both muscle cars. They're both fit, powerful machines, and it is your choice what you are trying to achieve.
Okay, that's really quite helpful. Let me see, ask out there if anyone has any more questions. We're getting close to the end of the hour, and I want to give you a chance to ask Dr. Hans Kugler, whom we have on the air with us and have had for this hour, any questions you might have. I have a question, Hans. If you're much younger, say you are, you know, if you're a young person, 20 years old, what would you do to stay young for the future? Would it be following the same profile, following the same regimen that you mentioned?
Actually, actually, when you are, if you're a younger person, you have it much easier, because it is much easier to follow good health practices starting with a younger age, and you don't have to reverse your inactivity and so on and so on. The best thing would be, number one, follow a good physical activity program. That is very, very important. Quality nutrition. Stay away from genetically modified foods. Vitamin, mineral supplementation. Stay on top with what's going on. Again, the National Health Federation, www.thenhf.com. You will find lots of good information there. You can go to the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, worldhealth.net, and you can go to their news discussion and also to their forum. Actually, I'm a moderator at the forum there, and you can pick any headline in the health field and see what is being discussed by health professionals in this area. And that's really what anybody should be doing from young age up.
Okay. Thank you, Hans, for that. And not seeing any more questions out there, I just want to make an announcement before we close, and that is for those of you who will be in the Edinburgh, Scotland area a week from this Saturday, I'll be speaking at the Teviot House, and that is October 13th, 10 days from now, Teviot House in Edinburgh. There will be other speakers. It's a one-day event called Awakened State. And if you go to awakenstate.co.uk, you can buy a ticket or you can see how to get there. You can see if it'll be interesting for you. So any of you who are within striking distance of Edinburgh, I want you to think about going there. I will be there, and I'll be more than happy to meet you personally when I'm there giving a speech. Well, maybe not while I'm giving the speech, but around that time. So mark that on your calendar. And the website, again, is awakenedstate, all one word there, .co.uk. The tickets are only, I think, £15 in advance, £17 at the door, something like that. And I recommend you try to make it. There will be some other speakers there like Thomas Sheridan, Tony Gosling, Anthony Peake, and John Witterick talking about the illusion of debt and some other other interesting topics. Well, Hans, I had to get in that little commercial for myself, but I very much appreciate having you on. I know you're on another program just yesterday for one of our other NHF people, Paula Mathers.
Yes,
Go ahead.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just invited to speak in Mexico City in a couple of weeks at a big stem cell meeting. And I also recall there's a very good alternative site now besides the NHF.com. It's called iHealthTube.com. And you get good information there. You can find 9 short videos by myself from every aspect, from health practices to stem cells.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Hans, so much. There's so much more information. We barely touched on the subject of stem cells, which I know you're an expert on. And I'd love to have you back on the show again sometime if you would permit me.
Anytime, no question about it. Scott, we've known each other for so many years, and I appreciate your devotion to that field. That is very impressive. And, you know, people will recognize when they follow through all of this, it is only good things for them that is being transmitted on some of our areas. And, you know, and when you buy one of my books, it's only $7 or $8. Buy 2 or 3 of them and give them to some friends. And soon we will also have them in regular print. So just stay up to date by looking at our website, theantiagingforme.com.
That sounds great, Hans. Well, anyway, thank you once again. Have a great day there in Southern California, where you were talking to us from. And I know the weather's really good there, which makes the rest of us here in Europe kind of sick, but I'm glad you're having good weather at least. So be good, and I'll talk to you again soon. Okay?
Okay.
Thank
God bless.
Thank
Have
you.
A good day.
All
See
right.
ya.
Take care. Bye.